Blog Talk Radio
presents a Blog Radio Show.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and we've got a great show for you guys tonight. We've got actress, author Blanca Blanco with us tonight. But before we start, a quick thank you to our guest that we had on last night. Was it last night? No, Friday night. I'm sorry. It's a holiday weekend. I don't know what day is what. We had on psychic Artie Hoffman. Everybody loves Artie. We had an Artie party, and everybody called in to get their readings, which was great, and everybody enjoyed themselves. And thank you again to Glenn Scarpelli, who joined us on Thursday. We had a wonderful evening. So tonight we have a really great topic. We're going to discuss Blanca's life, I guess. I mean, I'm flabbergasted by it, but without further ado, actress, author, Blanca Blanco. Hi, Blanca. Thank you. Welcome to the show, and thank you for joining me.
Hi, Joanne. Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me in the show.
Oh, no. Thank you for coming. I mean, when I saw what your book was about, it just broke my heart. The book, by the way, folks, is called Breaking the Mold. And I have to ask you, now, when you're really... You started off as an actress, so what made you decide to compile everything of what you've been through and put it through in a book? I mean, I could only imagine what you've been through in your life. I mean, lots of struggles, obviously.
Yeah, well, during the lockdown, I just felt that it was something that I needed to do. I felt we needed more stories of hope and resilience.
True.
Because poverty and abuse and discrimination was increasing everywhere, like not only in LA, but all over the country, the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it's time for me to share my story. And my book is about it's basically about like the challenges that I experienced, but also how it shaped me into who I am today and how I developed skills that were able to help me throughout my life and even help me now when I'm in this industry. So each chapter, besides the struggles and the traumatic experiences that I experienced as a child, it also has hope and courage in every chapter. So it's definitely a book about how traumas really provide, in a way, you know, personal growth and so much resilience, and you grow so much as a person.
Right, and you know, we can't let our past define who we are today. We've come so far, and I know you know, the book mentions obviously that, you know, you're a Mexican family and you guys were struggling in poverty. And whose garage were you living in, and do you still know those people?
Well, we lived in the garage, and it was my father's relative, and they rented the garage for us for 2 years. But it didn't have any heating or hot water or shower hookup.
And nothing. It was a garage.
It was a car garage. Yeah, like you could see the bars when the garage opens, you know, like it's, and it was freezing cold in Washington State. But, you know, from that living there, I knew that I didn't want poverty to define me when I'm older. I wanted to take steps to change my future, because I wanted to be the one in control of my life.
So you wanted more. You wanted more.
Yeah. And I wanted more, so I worked on that. And so that's what the book is about. It's about seeing something, reaching for something that I wanted to do, and the steps that I took and the tools that helped me. And I was able to survive it.
Thank God. Thank God. And you also, you're a psychologist as well. So, I mean, my goodness, you've done just about everything. You the first one in your family to go to college and then to become a psychologist of all things. And then, I mean, the book, being a psychologist, how would you say you put that into the book and to help people?
Well, for me, it was important to write something that was very personal, share my personal experience, but also share the tools that helped me. Because growing up, I didn't have a therapist. I the information that I was learning was on my own. So yeah. I just thought, okay, well, I need to share that, because there will be families that don't have access to a therapist or a counselor, but they are... Definitely, we're born. We have we have feelings and everything. So we are able to, I wanted to influence, even if I do one person, about reframing, changing the negatives to positives. How that, working on that every day, was able to help me get by, because surviving poverty and abuse and discrimination, it was a daily struggle. But I was able to use took some steps every day to feel valued and secure. And I definitely wanted to share that with my readers and my fans.
Right. Now, with all those things on top of it, you couldn't speak English. So would you say that what was the toughest thing? I mean, everything you had was tough. Would you say the English part was the hardest, or just everything?
Well, I think that, everything's, it was overwhelming, because we were an immigrant family in Washington State. We didn't have, basically we live in a garage. We had limited resources, and at school I didn't speak English, so I would get bullied, and I would have students that would throw erasers at me or rubber bands, because I look like I'm from another country. They would say stuff like that, and so I experienced that as a little kid. And but, definitely there were life lessons, and I think that everything was, the weight was the same. But one of the things is that I remember was that, I can't change, being poor right now. That's a given, but what I can remain in control is of my perception, the way I see things. When I saw everything as, as a problem, I just felt so much weight, a weight on me, but when I saw it, I'm going to challenge myself, I'm going to do this and take this step, then I just feel more determined. And it gave me more courage to be able to move forward. And
now,
so
now,
stuff,
I'm so sorry. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. No, finish. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, yeah. So, the positive self-talk and being kinder to myself, I had to work on that every day.
Right. Well, my question was, now, your siblings, when you were younger, did they have the same drive and determination as you, or no? You were the only one in the family who really wanted to be something and get out of this nasty hole and move on and make something of yourself.
Well, all my siblings, we all went to college and got degrees and had careers. So we changed our lifestyle from when we were younger.
Mm.
Yeah. So definitely they everybody's happy with their life. And growing up, we didn't allow the poverty to put limitations on what we could do. We were very driven.
Thank God.
Did sports. Yeah, I did sports, even though I had a lot of challenges to do, because when I did the sports, because I had, my father was very traditional. He believed a woman should not be doing sports. Mm. He was very machista, from Mexico, in some parts of Mexico, old-fashioned. And so I had to overcome, voicing my opinion and basically fight for my own freedom. If my brother...
In your own house. In your own house, you had to fight for
it.
In my own house. Right,
and
right.
I just thought, if my brother's doing track, I don't see the problem why I don't stay either. You know, I want to do sports too. So I had to, you know, basically push for everything. And
yeah.
And I did. I did sports and I went to college. That was another thing where it wasn't very common for my – well, my father didn't believe women should go to college.
Right.
And so I just knew that the key to break the cycle of poverty was to get an education. Because
right.
I saw that was something that closed a lot of opportunities for my parents, because they didn't have an education here in the
mm-hmm.
U.S. and we didn't have the language. So I knew that we had a lot of challenges. That it would have been, yeah, I wanted to make sure I didn't repeat history.
Exactly. Well, when you achieved success in the acting in the entertainment industry, I mean, that must have been a phenomenal feeling to you and your mom. And again, I wanted to say I'm sorry your mom didn't get to read the book. I'm so sorry she passed. My sympathy to you, obviously.
Thank you, Joanne.
But
she
must.
Sweet
did,
of you.
Did she read any of it at least?
Yes, I did. I read some of it for her when she was like on hospice.
Mm.
It happened so fast. It wasn't related to COVID, but we did experience the struggles of the COVID families that are not able to see your loved ones, even though they're given a terminal diagnosis.
Yeah.
And eventually we took her home and we took care of her for until she passed away. But yeah, I read her the book. She was very happy and she was having
good.
She's been my biggest cheerleader. Like she would always
sure.
say, like, I had big dreams. And even when I was in the garage, like I would do a lot of scenes and characters with my sisters. And my mom would always, I would tell her, oh, when I'm older, I'm going to be an actress in Hollywood. And she would be, well, you know, you can do anything you want to
right.
do. You just have to work at it. But when I would get bullied at school because I would say stuff like that, because they're like, oh, sure, you don't even have nice clothes, you know, like all these things little kids do and living in poverty. So I just learned just to show actions instead of about, like, I'm just going to move
you know they were,
in, like, being an
you know
actress.
They were jealous of you. You know that, right?
No, yeah. Well, kids are very, they find everything to make fun of you when you're a kid.
Go ahead.
Oh, so yeah, so definitely my mom was very proud when I moved to LA. That was my initial, first I wanted to have my foundation, which was my education, and I wanted to come to LA. After that was the plan, and then, yeah, it's a slow process, but it felt good to be able to achieve the goals that I set myself to do.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing because your mom probably, you know, the whole time was like, oh, God, I got to make it better for my kids. I got it. But she couldn't because she had to work so hard to feed the kids. And and then for you to get out of that mess and become who you become, I mean, it just must have been a beautiful thing for her. So God bless her. God bless her. And I'm very sorry for your loss. I really am.
Thanks.
And I'm sure she knows how well you're doing. And, you know, have you had people reach out to you, you know, thanking you or asking for any advice for kids that are being bullied or anything? Or do you have any advice for kids that are being bullied right now?
Yes, I've been getting emails almost every other day. I get emails on Instagram, like messages there, or just like emails from people that have my email address, and they read the book and they were inspired. They want to write their own story. They want to, you know, they ask for information, because, you know, this is my first book and I wrote it during the lockdown, and they asked how, like, the process of writing and how that works. And I'm very open with, you know, like, parent, I like to share because, you know, when I started my journey writing, it was during the lockdown. Most of my writing before was research-based, you know, a lot of psychology research papers, not really as an author, you know, like a book.
Right,
It was mostly like experiments and stuff like that. And so I wanted something opposite of what I did before. And so that's why I wanted to share, like, my really, like, the emotions that I went through and the actions that I took I thought that was important because we all need support during the pandemic. Everything is the unknown. This is so much anxiety. And so I just thought, well.
Yeah, and just in general nowadays, I mean, because I was going to say, I mean, I had no idea how bad prejudice and racism was until the last 2 years. Because I'm going to be quite honest with you, Blanco. When I was growing up, you know, I lived in a small town, and I can understand it a little bit. I think it's disgusting, but I can understand it. We lived in a very small town. It was all American, all white, you know, and then we had some Hispanics come into town, and nobody liked them. And for no reason whatsoever, other than they were different. And, you know, we all felt that way, but some of us moved on and accepted it. Maybe it was to grow up or I don't know what it took to move on from that, but it's like a lot of people have not moved on from that. Like they still to this day, this is my country, not yours. And that's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
It's everybody's country. The United States is a melting pot. You know, and it's like my ancestors, my grandparents were from another country as well, you know, so they were probably bullied as well for being a different nationality or race or whatever, you know, so nobody's better than no one else is what I'm trying to say, you know, and I had no idea that it was still around until the last 2 years with everything that's been going on. With you know, the white supremacy and all that, I mean, it's just disgusting to me. I can't stand it, and especially if you don't live on the like the East or West Coast where you're intermingled with a diverse group of people, you know, like I grew up with all different nationalities, so people are people to me. I don't look at them as, oh, you're Spanish, you're black or whatever. It's just you're a person, you know. But we're in these in the middle of the country, in the South and everything, they're still got that mentality of, this is my country, get out. You know, I don't get it. And it's sad. It's sad. As a psychologist, how we break that? Do you know how we can get out of that?
I know that, like, for me, it was challenging because you're constantly, in this society, we're conditioned to label everything. You know, like we label groups, we label everything is in categories. So then that puts a division in each group. And and like you say, you see people like no matter what ethnicity they are, they're people. They're just
right.
And that's what I share in my book. You know, it's like when I experienced discrimination and prejudice throughout my, you know, basically growing up, I share some, you know, points on how I was able to. You know, educate people around me. Like I would, even though they would be saying things to me, I would, you know, I will also want to tell the teacher. I would say, you know, this person is saying this, and then the teachers would be like, okay, we gotta talk about how we need to respect each other. And so I think that the school was very good about taking information. Well, grade school, taking the information and actually, like, you know, taking a class. But I think definitely, like, if somebody's bullying you, just remember that, you know, voice, you know, your opinion. Tell someone about it, because when you don't share what is going on, it builds up. Like, you just basically keep it, you know, like, you just repress it, and then eventually it will come to surface. But it will come to surface, like, in different ways where it might be too much. So you want to make sure that you don't take this weight and keep it, like, make things lighter and share with your parents or your friends, you know. And it's very common. People get bullied, and people eventually the reason the kids bully is because they're projecting their own insecurities. It's
right.
Something that there is nothing like is about, like, yeah, they're obviously jealous that you're like you are exactly where they want to be, but also they are very insecure. So eventually people grow out or they become serial killers. I mean, that's pretty much, you know, the way that it works. So just, you know, just remember, you know, remember all your, if you're having experiencing any type of bullying, tell someone. Like, when you tell more people, like, more people are aware, and then there's, you know, people are, when you find the right people in your life, you, everybody wants to help each other out, you know, especially when it's something so, with bullying, eventually, like, it, you know, and then you feel better after you share with someone.
Yeah,
and,
you gotta get
and
it
that's
off
my
your
advice.
Chest. Yeah.
Yeah, it's important.
Now you experienced a lot of anxiety attacks at the time, or no?
No, when I experienced an anxiety attack when I was in escaping the Woolsey fire in 2018.
Yeah. Tell us about that. I wanted to ask you about that. Tell me what happened.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. Like, I remember, like, the reason that we survived is because I'm a morning person, you know, because I remember waking up at 6 something and I left the house around 7, and then I just, nothing was moving. And then I found a neighbor and he was moving stuff, and I said, are you guys moving out? And they're like, oh, we've been evacuated 3 hours ago, but nobody told us.
Wow.
So I,
wow.
Yeah, so I ran wow. And I, you know, yeah, it's, and, you know, we lived like half a block from the fire station, but there was no activity that there was any fire, you know? The
yeah.
Blue skies, no smell. And so, but in a second, everything changed. So we had like 10 minutes to leave the house. I took a carry-on with my legal documents and just a couple things. And then it just felt like Armageddon. Like, people were pushing. Like, I was at the gas station. I was going to put gas, and it took about an hour to get gas. By the time it's my turn, people are, like, bumping the car into my car so I don't get the gas. And
panic.
That happened, like, 3 times. Yeah,
animals.
Like, survival of the fittest, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like...
Yep.
Then finally, I was able to leave. I didn't put gas because by the time it was my turn, there was no more gas. And
were you
I
by
just
yourself?
Left and I,
were you by yourself?
Yeah, I was by myself and
oh
my,
my
bunny.
God.
And my bunny.
Oh
yeah,
my goodness.
And then I asked this lady and her husband, like, which way are they going to be going, or they recommend that I go? And they said, oh, we're going this way to the towards Oxnard because the cars are moving. And if you go towards Santa Monica, like, you're not moving at all. So I decided to make it right, and I actually went towards the fire.
Oh.
And so that's what I share in my book, that the whole idea that my decision, when I make decisions, is I try to look at the pros and cons and then take the action, you know, to make sure that it's I have a strong foundation. And by the time I was, you know, when I realized I made a mistake, that's why I had the panic attack. Because I was like, I realized I had made a mistake and this could cost me my life.
Sure.
And so I share about like the emotional changes that I went through, and also like the tools that I used to be able to be like to relax myself and be able to get through it. Because it was like a long journey. It took about 2 hours to be able to go through. And then eventually I remember, you know, like it was like pitch black and like I could see like the sparks, you know, and that my car was so hot. So I just knew it was close, you know. I really, there was a time where I didn't think I was going to make it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then there's no way of calling anyone because the connection wasn't there.
Well,
definitely. Yeah.
Girl, you are a survivor in more ways than one. You survived a crazy childhood and came out on top. And you know what? Adversity gets us to where we are. So, I mean, when somebody tells you no, you make it happen. And you say, oh, yeah, you tell me no. I don't think so. You know, you want to make it work, you know. And then, Jesus, to almost actually lose your life in a fire, too. You've been through hell.
Yeah, but, you know, the only thing, after the fire, people were asking, how are you able to be okay after a week? Like, you seem to be okay, but the reality is that I was not starting from zero, even though I lost everything, you know? I had knowledge, experience, and no one can take that away from me. So I had a sense of comfort knowing that if I survived before, I would survive again, you know? So for me, that didn't affect me, knowing that I had the ability to recover and create my, you know, my next goals, you know?
Right. Well, so, I'll tell you what, Blanca. I mean, you may look like this pretty little thing, but you are one tough chick, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You are one rough, tough cream puff.
Well, definitely, you know, traumatic experiences shaped me into who I am today, because I developed this determination, you know, to overcome hardships. I grew so much. So I definitely feel, and that's what I have in my book, how all the life lessons that we go through, they are shaping us, and also, you know, we're growing, and that's like the most important thing, because if we're learning new things every day, then that means that we're growing. We're like expanding our experience, and that's what I wanted to share in my book, because I know that it's overwhelming for so many crazy stuff happening in my childhood, but also I wanted to make sure that it was something that I share how I was able to get through it in a, you know, by taking action, you know, taking little steps that I took.
Right.
And so that was important to me.
Yeah. And with everything you went through in your life, not counting the fire, but your childhood and your teen years and everything, I mean, you could have grown up to be a nasty individual, and you're not. You're a very caring and sweet person. I mean, to work at a hospice as a social worker, I mean, you've got to have a heart with compassion for others. And since no one gave you compassion, I'm wondering how you found compassion to give it to others.
Well, I know that my mom, she and my grandma, they were very compassionate, and so I definitely got that from my mom and my grandma, because. And another thing I would see when I was younger, when I was a child, how kind some of the people were with us, you know, like the school or the social workers, that they would, you know, or the food banks or the Salvation Army, we found like people that were very kind to us. And I always thought that was like a, you know, beautiful thing to have. No matter how bad the situation
help.
Is, there's always a few people that are, you know, that want to help, and and you really see how compassionate they are. And so, and I remember when I was in Mexico, like, or anywhere, if I would see a homeless person, you know, asking for money, I would always, like, ask my parents, can we get money for, you know, this person, or bring a dish? So I always had that, like, I just always feel like I want to help others.
Well, thank God for that. Thank God for that. Because nobody, we wouldn't have known Blanca Blanco in that case, you know, because you are a fighter, my friend. And it's so funny. I did an article on a young girl a while back. She is a captain in, I think it was the Army. And she was a young Hispanic girl as well. And she was bullied. She couldn't speak English. And she has just risen beyond. And now she goes to schools and teaches kids. You know, it may be bad right now, but it won't be bad like that when you're older, you know, and move on. Do what you have to do to be who you want to be, and you can be anything you want. And that's for everybody, immigrant, American, you know, whatever. Anybody can do what they want to do. You just have to do it, you know. But my goodness. Well, oh, geez. I don't even know what to say. I'm just so devastated by everything you've been through, and that you're such a beautiful human being, and to be so strong. I mean, you have some tenacity in you.
Thank you. It was definitely, you know, I really enjoyed the process of writing the book and sharing all these challenges that I went through, and then also what I was able to use to to feel better every day.
Yeah, so, the book must have been, was the book a little healing for you as well, I guess?
Yeah, it was healing, for sure. It was healing because I had to go back, you know, in some areas in my life. And so I wanted to get as much detail because I wanted to just really be, you know, like, people that know me, like, basically my life is divided in two. I have the public life, and then I have a personal life, and I try to keep things, you know, with boundaries, you know. But with my book, I feel like I'm an open book, and it's like a new thing to me that I'm sharing, like, very deep stuff about my life. And I just thought, you know, we don't know what is happening, and we all need motivation. And yeah, and like you say, people look at you, they don't think you struggled before, you know, because everything that I promote is a project. It's not really about my childhood, you know. It's just like whatever the interview is about like the project, you know.
Right.
And
right.
I thought this would be a good tool for me to be able to share my childhood and it shaped me.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I keep jumping in front of you. Because I know this is going to leave me this question because I don't write the questions down. It's just what I'm thinking as we're speaking. But was there anybody that you knew as an adult now that did not know about your childhood and all the things you went through and they read your book and they were like, wow?
Oh, a lot of people. Yeah, especially people in the industry.
Right.
Like my immediate circle of friends, you know,
they know
my story.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, so they're reaching out and they've been inspired and they want to also write their own stories.
Well, it sounds like
a
movie.
You know, it's about a roller coaster.
Right. Mm-hmm. Anybody approach you to maybe make this a movie or a screenplay?
Well, that was another of my plans when I wrote the book was because I wanted to also make it a movie because I was watching Netflix during the lockdown and I just thought, I want to see more stories of real
stories.
Challenges, you know,
yeah.
real stories and but also of hope, you know, because we need that, but also the lessons, you know. So
yeah.
I said, I'm just going to, I wrote every day and I made my book and I thought eventually I would like it to be also like, you know, on a film or a show on Netflix, you know, because it has all the ingredients to be relatable because we have so many things going on right now. And I just felt that it has a strong, you know, story.
Yeah, well, it won, it's the winner of the Best Inspirational Book at the Hollywood Global Festival, so that's really amazing. That's great.
Yeah, that was really nice. It was my first award for my book, and
congratulations.
Also it was bestseller in Los Angeles last week or 2 weeks ago.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
That's great. Now, are you considering another book or you're focusing more on the acting now that COVID is dying down?
Yeah, I
are
do
you doing
have
both?
Projects. Yeah, I have projects lined up, my acting projects. So I will be doing a follow up book for sure. But right now I have work, with movies. So definitely I will be writing. For sure, again, because I really enjoy the process, and it's just like when I have a gap, I will insert my book, another book.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, how long did it take you to write? I mean, because you had to go back and dig deep.
Oh, yeah. It took about a year.
Wow.
Yeah. I haven't really asked people that are writers, like, to write books. What is the process? But I've been told that it usually takes years to publish a book. And so I guess I was very, you know, fortunate that I was able to start my book and then get it done. And it's already a Barnes & Noble last month and Amazon. And it's in over 20 bookstores all over the country. So,
Well, I have to say personally, you must say to yourself, I will never be in that position ever again.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. You know, I took that experience and I made sure that I took steps to, you know, make sure I break the cycle. And that's, you know, that's definitely, I know like what it feels like to experience severe poverty, to be sleeping with hunger, or to go to the Salvation Army and then there's no more food. Like, I remember all the stories, you know, like that I went through, and I just, that's why I like to give back to the community. I like to volunteer at the LA Mission, and I like to, I'm also, you know, making a scholarship for students, which I'm going to give my first one next month. So,
very nice.
So, yeah, because for me, that's how I got my education, through scholarships. And so I wanted to, I know that any, you know, it makes a difference. Just any help for people that have the motivation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, have you reached out to any of the Mexicans that are stranded at the border or the processing centers where they are right now? I mean, I don't know what's going on there, but I mean, have you done anything with those folks or no?
Well, I know that when everything was happening, like for, I believe, a few years ago, it was something that, like, it was really out of control. And I know that, you know, it is very heartbreaking. And and I've been helping a lot of the immigrant students that are, like, sharing and providing, you know, the tools that help me. And I do presentations. So, and like next month in April, well, I mean, in April, I will be going to Washington State on a tour for the Washington State University and another university, where I'm talking about my experience as an immigrant, and how I survived it and got my education and how I'm in LA. So I'm definitely, a lot of colleges are approaching me. They want me to come. Yeah, so... So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, I feel that it's like, nice to be able to share something that was effective for me.
And also, success is the best revenge, isn't it? Isn't it, right? Have you ever bumped into anybody that you remember bullying you, and they look at you now and you can look down on them now and say, yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, I don't really, like, I seen them, but, you know, when kids bully, eventually they grow out and they're nice people deep down, you know, they're just messed up somehow. So the people that eventually bullied me, they were really nice as we were in high school, and that changed, you know. But yeah, I do have people that they're like, it's like a different situation where it's just like, it's just like eventually everything that you set yourself to do, it happens, you know. And I remember, and like, even my name, like when I was in fifth grade, like some students will make fun of my name because it's similar, you know? They're like, oh, Blanco. And so they used to, that was another topic, you know, for them to be making fun of. And I remember saying to them, one day you're going to regret it. My name is going to be famous.
And you were right. Good for you. Oh, Blanca, you're amazing.
So,
you're an amazing person.
Goodness.
You're beautiful. You really are. And I don't mean outside. I mean inside, outside, everything. You are just amazing. You really are. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations on everything that you've overcome, where you are and where you're going. I mean, my goodness, and what you're doing to help others, it's just amazing. And we need more people like a Blanca Blanco, right? We definitely do. We need more people.
Yeah, I just think, you know, staying true to yourself, you know, close to your own core, then you're able to stay more grounded and be able to, you know, have a foundation for yourself, but also you can help others as well.
Yeah.
But you need to start with you, you know, like first you got to be secure on your own and then you can help others.
Yeah. And the kids need the help. The kids need the help the most.
Oh, yeah.
They do. They do. And you were a strong person there. Like you said, there's a lot of people who were bullied and they weren't strong and they still have issues affecting them now. And they need to understand,
yeah.
like you said, and like I said earlier, that when people were doing that, they were, first of all, immature, stupid, didn't know what they were
mm-hmm.
doing, didn't realize they were hurting somebody. They were being idiots, and it was all jealousy and very insecure. People were insecure, and as kids, we are insecure, you know? And if you can't move on from that, you need to get help. Because it's only going to fester and not be healthy for you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you got. If there's something that is affecting you from your childhood or any situation
anything.
That you're experiencing,
right.
Give yourself, you know, the time. Go see a therapist. Deal on that. Work on that because if it doesn't, it will build up and it will be worse later.
Right.
And
besides that,
it creates a lot of anxiety and guilt and resentment when you leave everything there.
Right. One thing you could say to the kids out there that are having a tough time right now, other than what we've already touched on, anything else you could add for the kids out there?
Yeah, just remember that, you know, challenges make us stronger,
mm-hmm.
not weaker.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone tells you no, that's your go
when
sign to make it happen.
Take action and work at it.
Right. Yep. Well, Blanca, you said the book is available, in, I guess, everywhere, right? It's online everywhere and in Barnes & Noble. Like, you can just get it anywhere.
Yeah, you can. If you want to order online, you can just go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon, or you can just go to, they're in the bookstores. But some people don't like to drive to bookstores, especially with COVID, then you can just go online and just get it there.
It takes less than
a week to get it.
Yeah, and do you have a website yourself, Blanca?
Yeah, I do. It's BlancaBlanco.com.
There you go, folks.
Yeah,
Blanco,
you can find all my social media there. Yeah.
Yep.
All my social media is there, and or follow me on Instagram. I keep everyone updated, and I have all the links to all the places where you can buy my book.
Nice. And the second book, we said, what is the topic going to be, or you can't say yet?
Not yet, but it will definitely be, you know, a topic that is it's about real life and
inspiring and uplifting.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, this book has a great title, Breaking the Mold. I mean, it's don't peg anybody because and say that they're an immigrant, they're never going to get anywhere. They're poor, they're never going to get anywhere. People, be careful what you say because, again, success is the best revenge, and it will happen. The more you tear somebody down, the more you build them up. So go ahead, whatever, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Because, we were an immigrant family. We came with, living in poverty. We didn't speak the language, but we all became successful. We went to school, to university, and have the jobs that we love. It doesn't feel like a job, that's the type of jobs we have.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we broke the mold.
Yeah. I'm curious, what do your other siblings do?
Marketing and an accountant, architect, just different, like a lot of science, or numbers.
Nice. Your mom and dad must have been so proud of all of you.
Yes, and also my mom, after she raised all of us, she went to a community college and she learned English. Well, she
Good
worked
for her.
On learning English because she wanted to become a U.S. citizen. So she learned some English and then did her citizenship. And I have that in my book. I have a picture of her so proud, you know, holding her certificate with the judge.
Aww,
when she became
sweet.
A U.S. citizen. And I still have her ID card. She gave me her ID card.
Aww,
because she was so proud of that. But, you know, it's like definitely, you know, when you see an immigrant family, like, just remember that everybody has potential. And even if people are like, life is about balance. So even if they're like on a lower, like, you know, eventually it's going to change, because life is never going to stay the same. It always changes.
Right. Yep.
So,
yep.
So respect and others, because you don't know who's going to be the next president.
Not only that, and like you said earlier, you don't know what people are going through, and you should always be kind, because you don't know what people are going through. And one false or terrible word can break someone's heart and knock them down, and we don't need that. We need to, like you said, build people up and positivity,
yeah,
and love. We need to get that back in this country. We need to get that back. I don't know where we went
mm-hmm.
wrong, when it happened. It totally took me by surprise, because I had no idea. Like I said, where I grew up, where I live is very diverse, and I never saw it happening. Like now, as an adult, as a kid, yeah, we saw it happening. You know, kids pick on kids, you know. But as an adult, I didn't see it happening until all this anti-Semitism and racism and all this has been coming about with politics
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. So, you know, it's not good. It's not good for people. It's not good for the country. It's not good for anybody. So it really isn't. It's sad.
Yeah.
It's very sad. It's very sad. But
yeah.
I am so happy for you, though. I am so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. And my goodness.
Thank
you.
Did you
dedicate the book to your mom?
Yes, I did.
I figured you did. Nice.
Yeah.
I have
pictures of me and my mom in the book as well.
Oh, I have to get it. I'm going to have to get it so I can read it. I didn't read it. I apologize. I don't have time to read the books before the guests come on. So,
sure.
But I do. I have to pick it up. I have to pick it up. It sounds like a beautiful, inspirational story. And folks, if you're having trouble out there with your family and kids, it sounds like a great book to pick up for them as well. And Blanca is a psychologist too. So there's got to be stuff in there to help people, right? I'm guessing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and then also the foreword was written by my professor from college. So,
oh, nice.
It was nice. It was nice to be able to have my first book, and then also to have my professor be the one that writes the foreword, because I wanted to have, you know, academia in my book. I wanted to incorporate also that part of my life, because for psychology and social work, it's another area that I, you know, I got my master's degree, so, and it has really helped me so much when I moved to LA to be an activist, because it's so handy. Like, everything that I was trained to do, like, I'm able to utilize here, and then also I use that to find my characters. I always go back to childhood and what the actions that people take, you know, my character takes. So I just feel like I'm doing like an assessment with every character.
Right.
From the childhood.
That kind of answered my question. I was going to ask you if you were going to continue your education, but you do every day when, like you said, reaching back for roles and everything, that you're always educating yourself with what you've went through. So no, I didn't
for
know if you were going to extend your education.
No, I'm able to use my degree with my work as an actress, and also because, you know, you work in different groups, so I understand, like, dynamics, group dynamics, and it really helps when I work on different sets and just seeing different personalities and behaviors, and so it's definitely beneficial for me doing that, and then also... Yeah, I will not be going. I mean, I just thought I will stop at a master's degree because I'm doing my career now, but I have a strong foundation. I didn't
Very
want
good.
Not to have a foundation, you know?
Yeah, Well, that's what you need. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody needs, a strong foundation. And if it's not education, at least a strong foundation with love or family or friends, something. You need something. You need something. You can't do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Whoa, my goodness. Well, everybody, Breaking the Mold, you can get it everywhere, Barnes & Noble, online. Go to BlancaBlanco.com as well. Go to Instagram, Blanco Blanco. What is it? I saw it on Instagram because I tagged
Blanco
you.
Blanco Actress.
Actress, that's it. Yes, I forgot what it was. I'm sorry. I know I tagged you in my promo, so I forgot what it said. But, wonderful. Well, Blanca, thank you so very much. And if you ever want to come back with your next book or your next acting project, please, please don't hesitate to come back. I'd love to chat with you again.
I would love that. Thank you so much, Joanne.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. And stay away from fires.
Yes, I will.
And follow the crowd next time. Follow the crowd.
Well, I followed the wrong crowd.
Exactly. You followed the wrong crowd. Oh, my goodness. Thank God. Thank God you made that of that. Okay. Jesus. Oh, you are a fighter. You are something, my friend. You are something. Oh, what a pleasure speaking with you today. And I'm so glad I got to meet you. And I wish you much success with the book and more books to come.
Thank you.
Well, everybody, thank you. Blanco, thank you so much for joining us. You have a wonderful evening. And I can't wait to get the book. I can't wait to read it.
I'm looking forward for you to read my book. And then we can have, if you ever have any questions or anything, I'm always... I believe you have my email. If not, I will send you an email afterward.
Wonderful. Sounds like a plan. I thank you so much, everybody. Blanca, thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening. And again, you were an inspiration to speak to tonight. And I thank you so much. You touched my heart.
Oh. Well, that's very sweet of you. Well, you guys have a great evening or night.
Yeah, it's nighttime here. Yeah, it's nighttime. Yeah. cold nighttime. It's a cold nighttime.
Yeah.
Where you're basking in the sun with a little bit of shade and cloudiness, but you know. Like I said, it's a little warm here today. It's in the 30s. It's warm, so.
Oh, okay.
That's my nose is I'm all stuffed up, but you know, we're cold, but it's our warm weather. 30 degrees is warm for us. It sounds crazy, I know. I know. Blanca, thank you so very much. And you take care. And please, please keep in touch.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Blanco, thank you so much. Check out the new book, Breaking the Mold, available everywhere, folks. Check it out. Check it out. And you'll love it. Inspirational story for sure. And help for people who may need it, especially for those going through tough times. So, Blanca, thank you so very much. Take care. Have a good evening.
You too. You
okay,
too.
Honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Wow. Can you imagine? No, you can't, because you never had to go through anything like that. You never had to deal with anything like that. Well, some people may have, but not the majority of people. I mean, a lot of Americans, you know, who grew up disadvantaged financially, you still survived and you had the family outlet. I don't know what it's like nowadays because it's different now. But back in the day, I mean, I was poor. I mean, we didn't know it, but we were poor. And we had community, we had friends, we had our family, and they didn't let on that we were poor. We didn't know we were missing out on things, you know what I mean? Because everything is so different now. And, but, you know, growing up that way gives you the drive and the determination to succeed. And my whole life, that's what I've always wanted more out of life. I've got everything I could possibly ask for. And God forbid I should drop dead tomorrow. Please don't cry for me. I've had a wonderful life. I really have. And it may not have been great growing up because of money, but money doesn't buy happiness, folks. But if it brings misery, I'll take it. But Anyway, yeah, it's take the bad things and make them make you stronger. And again, success is the best revenge if someone is putting you down or something to that effect. And yeah, it's crazy how things are right now. And I can't wait to do our Applause Radio show off the air on YouTube, where we're going to be discussing topics that are not entertainment related, because you know, this show is entertainment geared, so I don't like to bring politics to the show. So we'll be doing that with that. So tomorrow night, join me tomorrow night on the 21st, when we welcome Reverend, let me get this right. I got to read this, because you know I'm not going to get this right, folks. We've got Ambassador Sujay. She's also known as America's Queen of Inspiration. And she's got two new books out. We're going to talk to her. And her name is Coretta. No, wrong name. Susan D. Johnson Cook. So the Reverend Dr. Susan D. Johnson Cook, also known as Ambassador Sujay. And she's going to be joining us tomorrow. We're going to talk about her books. And I thought it was appropriate for President's Day and also Black History Month. So she has worked with presidents. She worked with Bill Clinton. She has, worked with Coretta Scott King as well. I have to do a little research on her before I start talking about her. But another amazing human being here. But she's got two new books out. My Fabulous Fifth Chapter. La, la, la. My Fabulous Fifth Chapter. It's My Turn Now, and Rhythms of Rest, 40 Devotions for Women on the Move. So she's got some story behind her, too. So listen in and check that out. That's going to be great. And 23rd, Francesca Bega, singer-songwriter, will be joining us on the 23rd at 9 p.m. Eastern. And we're gearing up for our guest for March. Hopefully we'll have that all booked up for you soon. And the calendar will be updated before you know it. So I hope you guys enjoyed this month. I did. We had a good month. Lots of great guests. We had, we had, of course, Steve Fasson and Somer Masick from Heart by Heart. They were great. We had Dale Bozio on from Missing Persons, actor Glenn Scarpelli from One Day at a Time, Artie Hoffman, our favorite psychic. Everybody loves an Artie party. And now we just have Blanco. And we've got two more great, amazing guests coming up. And March, I haven't booked yet, but usually it doesn't take long to book up. So once I start reaching out to folks, we'll have them all booked. So pay attention to the calendar. And what else I going to say? Don't forget Chris Red at NJ Pack on the 27th. I've got two tickets to give away. Last chance to win them will be either tomorrow or the 23rd. The 21st or 23rd, call into 646-478-0999. And he's from Saturday Night Live, and he's so funny. I cannot wait to see him. And it's going to be a great show. And check out the calendar at njpack.com. They've got a lot of great stuff coming up for March as well, a lot of great shows. And what else did I want to say? Oh, enjoy your President's Day tomorrow for anybody who has a day off. I do, and I'm looking forward to it. So hope you guys are too. And back to business. It's always business. Never a rest. So in light of this conversation, be kind, everybody. Really, be kind. Check out the book, Breaking the Mold, Blanco. Go check it out. Amazing, inspirational story. You think you got it bad? You don't. Just remember, someone's always got it worse than you. So hang in there, okay? And you never know what someone's going through. So be kind, man. Really. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening. Have a good night. Bye-bye. Be kind.
soon.